Hey, ChatGPT, can you write me an intro for a show called The Photography Friends Podcast?
Welcome to The Photography Friends Podcast, the show where we click, capture, and communicate our love for all things photography. I'm your host, Shutter Jerry, and I'm thrilled to embark on this visual journey with you.
Damn, that was actually pretty good. Which leads to my next question. Will AI replace photography?
AI is unlikely to completely replace photography, as it has its own artistic and subjective aspects that cannot be replicated by AI. However, AI technology can enhance and automate certain aspects of photography, making it more efficient and accessible.
Okay, well, that's a relief. But now that I think about it, maybe that's just what the AI wants us to think, guys. If you're anything like me, if you're a photographer and you've been seeing all of this news about AI tools coming up that are pretty impressive and can do some pretty impressive things when it comes to, you know, visual media. Yeah, maybe as a photographer, you are worried that you will be replaced by AI. Maybe you are concerned about the robot takeover. And we're going to get to the bottom of all of that on this week's episode. But before we do that, we need to thank our sponsor, CloudSpot. At least while photography exists, CloudSpot is the easiest way for photographers to deliver and sell their photos online. You can create beautiful galleries, and it's very easy for your clients to download the photos that you shot in reality and didn't generate with AI software. You can save time, you can impress your clients, and you can get 50% off by clicking that link in the description. So yeah, as I alluded to earlier, there are tons of relatively clickbaity articles out there talking about the rise of AI, talking about, you know, generative AI, which is a tough word to say. Videos like Peter McKinnon's video on YouTube, Photography is Dead, Here's Why. There's also a pretty funny article that I read on F-stoppers. Photography is officially dead. All major camera makers to cease operations, which is obviously a bit of a troll. And the Picture This Photography podcast has a really good episode. They have a few episodes about AI, but particularly one that was interesting to me as I prepared for this podcast, their episode Surviving the AI Photo Takeover, which, you know, may be upon us. I already have an episode about AI that I recorded a little while ago. It was actually a guest episode on my good friend Casey's podcast, The Nerdy Photographer. I recommend that you check out that episode. You can find it on his podcast feed, but I also put it up on our podcast feed here just to make it easy for everybody. You know, there we talked a little bit about AI art applications. We talked about Midjourney and stuff like that and AI culling software. But when it comes to AI, things are obviously evolving very quickly. So I wanted to give you guys an update here. And in this episode, I want to focus specifically on AI tools that are coming out from Adobe. Those tools in Photoshop and Lightroom, specifically dealing with generative fill. That's one of the biggest things that we're going to talk about here. But just to give you guys a sense of where I stand on this stuff, I've been very actively seeking out AI technology, AI applications that can assist me in, you know, planning and even executing on my photography and video projects right now. I've purely been embracing the AI revolution. Just moments ago, I was listening to Spotify's new AI DJ, and I was generating images with Photoshop beta, and I really felt like a true AI man. And I even used AI to assist me with the album art for my band Acid Kitten, so you guys can check that out. So here are some AI features of Adobe applications that I've integrated into my workflow that I am now using like pretty much every single day. Subject and background select has become pretty sophisticated. It's getting really easy to delete your background. And I often can also use this to change the relative exposure of like the subject and the background in my photos. Sky replacement is one that I use a lot, particularly for real estate photos. When you go in, because real estate is one thing that I shoot a lot, when you go and capture a property, sometimes the weather isn't really cooperating. Sometimes the sky can be kind of gray or just kind of boring. And it's really, really easy now to replace skies. It takes like seconds to do that. So you can basically have any type of sky that you want. You can have sunset, you can have like really dynamic sky, beautiful detailed clouds, all of that type of stuff. Content aware fill is something that can be incredibly useful. You can use it to remove unwanted objects from the background. You can use it to remove people from the background that you don't necessarily want in your photo. I actually recently used it on a lifestyle shoot to remove some people from the background. And that's all great, but as I mentioned earlier, there's some even more interesting stuff going on with Photoshop Beta, and that's like straight up generative fill. I don't know if you guys have played around with this at all, but basically you can just grab your lasso tool, you lasso whatever part of the image that you want, and then you just type in what you want and it kind of appears and it's usually quite properly exposed and like properly graded as well. Like I just had a picture of me and my dogs and I was like, oh, put another dog here, put another dog there. And the dogs that it generated like looked like they belonged in the photo, right? It's not like the exposure and grading and stuff was like completely different. One thing that is pretty cool too, like in terms of, you know, just basic, like cutting people out of your image or something like that. Like I had a part of my glasses that didn't cut out properly. I literally just used the lasso tool and then I literally just typed fix this and it like knew to delete that one part out of my glasses. So pretty interesting. Obviously it's not perfect. It does kind of screw stuff up and, you know, all of the things that we know about AI generative tools, how they make faces kind of weird. It kind of struggles with fingers and stuff like that. That's all still a problem, right? That's not quite dealt with yet. But as these things become more advanced and I guess they just get like more images for the data sets and stuff like that, this stuff's just going to get better and better, I guess, the more that it is used. So yeah, for me personally, you know, my personal experience, some of the advantages I believe to AI, it can speed up your workflow. And I think that like the biggest thing that it's helpful for right now is like pre-production, to brainstorm ideas, and just to be able to like show certain things to your client, like show certain concepts or kind of visual styles or like vibes to clients in terms of like mock-ups and pitches and stuff like that, like pre-prod stuff, you know? I think that's really where AI shines right now. And it's interesting, as I've been experimenting more with this stuff and implementing it more into my day-to-day workflow, I've been sharing my experience with, you know, my fellow photographers, my photography friends out there on the internet, but also in the real world at camera stores and crazy places like that. And there's been a variety of reaction to AI, right? To AI, especially as it applies to photography. I think there's those people who are kind of excited about it, like me, right? Interested to see how it can help people's creativity, right? How it can kind of release you from the shackles of just the brute force that it can take, like hours and hours of time and effort that it can take to achieve some artistic vision. And if this can help people with that, like then I am excited about it. And there's other people who are like me, who I've spoken to. There's those who are just like completely disinterested, right? Photography purists, I suppose, who they don't other than shooting digital, right? And not just like shooting film, they don't really have a lot of interest in like using groundbreaking new forms of technology for photography, right? They just don't have any interest in AI. They don't see how it's going to affect what they do. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing. They just shoot the way they shoot, right? And I call this category photography purists. And then there's the fear, right? There's people who are actually afraid of AI and the way that it's being implemented. I guess they're worried that it might take work away from them. I've heard stories of, videographers and photographers being in meetings with clients where they're very openly talking about replacing them with AI and how they could achieve that, right? So that's something to be worried about. And also just like the overall kind of cumulative effect of, more and more media and entertainment and even like educational stuff being created by AI, and what that means for the brains of the people who are like interacting with that, ingesting that. Maybe it's just going to kind of make us all dumber, or maybe make us all like less human, I guess, just kind of make us think more like machines, which is concerning to think about. So now I want to make some predictions in terms of who I think is safe as AI becomes more and more advanced, and who I think is screwed. And these are just my own personal predictions. I could totally be wrong, but looking at the landscape of photography right now, I think that product photographers have a lot to worry about right now, right? From what I can see, and even with my own experience, it's really easy to like take a photo of a product, like let's say a watch, right? And just like remove the background and then put like whatever background you want, right? You can put like an airport, you can put a fancy hotel, you can put a pool. All of these things are like at your fingertips. You can generate that those backgrounds and stuff for AI. So I think product photography, it's definitely going to be impacted by AI generative tools. Landscape photography as well might be one that's in danger. I guess if there's enough like really good source photos of a landscape, you can kind of do whatever you want, right? Like if it's a very, very famous landmark like Stonehenge or something like that. Like if someone can just go find a picture of Stonehenge somewhere and like generate every background they want, I guess like real pictures of Stonehenge that are really cool are going to become like less valuable. That could happen, right? Fashion is one that I thought was kind of safe, but apparently there are some pretty good AI tools for creating like fashion photography, or at least approximating fashion photography. And another one that I thought was going to be pretty safe, headshots and lifestyle photos. I kind of assume that it would be a long time before AI can do your headshot. But then I found that there's apps like Fotor, which basically you just provide a data set of a whole bunch of pictures of your face, and the AI can just generate like headshots for you in any style that you want. Kind of terrifying. Okay, photographers who I think are a little bit more safe from the AI takeover, though I could again be totally wrong. I think wedding photography is something that is going to continue to exist for a long time. I guess you could do like a data set of all of your family's faces and have like wedding photos generated. I don't think anyone's really going to do that. I think that people want real photos of their real wedding. And that's going to continue to be the case. Again, similarly with event photography, the actual event happens, you come to the event and you take photos. I don't think people are going to want to use AI to generate photos of their event. It just seems pretty counterintuitive. Real estate, I think similarly, luckily for me, it's probably harder to generate photos of a specific property than it is to just like come and take photos of the property. Again, could be wrong, but I think that real estate's going to be pretty safe. Photojournalism, it's real photos of real shit that's happening in the real world. Tough to replace that with AI. And the other group of people who I think are going to be okay in terms of photography are those photographers who are willing to embrace AI, right? Those photographers who don't view this as something that's like taking away their job as, a technology that is a threat to them, but actually viewing this as an opportunity and working it into their day-to-day and working into their workflow. So if you're a photographer and you're worried that AI is killing photography, what are some things that you can do to survive the AI onslaught? Well, I think one of the biggest things that you can do is have a personality, right? It's something that a computer can never have. AI will never have a human personality. So you as a person, you have a unique personality, and that's something that will attract people to you, and it's something that just cannot be replicated by a computer, at least not yet. The storytelling aspect, right? The story behind the photo is often at least as important, if not more important, than the photo itself, right? People enjoy art because of the artist behind it. People don't just look at Van Gogh and appreciate Van Gogh because he painted cool paintings. It's like the story behind his painting and what it says about humanity and what it says about the human condition. All of those things, again, like the story behind the art is very important. So if you're a good storyteller and you actually share the stories behind your photography, I think that goes a long way. Stuff like meaning is also something that AI struggles with, right? If you're able to communicate, again, something very human with your art, with your photography, then you're not really going to be that threatened by machines. The experience of working with you is also something that can't really be replicated. The experience of actually having a photo shoot, actually like going out on a lifestyle shoot with a photographer and, experimenting together and having experience together is something that's very highly valued and something that can't be replaced with AI. Being a big part of the community as well, right? Not just like the local community, but like the internet community of photographers. If you're constantly involved in the community and constantly supporting the community, then the community will support you back. I said community a lot of times there. And then just like a couple more maybe counterintuitive ways to make sure that you survive the AI takeover here. Building your knowledge of print, right? If you're able to create like beautiful prints and curate photos and like create photo books and stuff like that, these are all things that AI is going to have trouble with, right? And printing is a... I used to work for Vistaprint. Printing is a pretty... specialized thing, and not just anybody can get great prints, right? And similarly with film, right? If you're shooting film, actually shooting with a film camera, and that's something that you do professionally, then obviously like a robot's not going to be able to replicate that, right? It might be able to generate some type of digital image, but the actual film photography is still just the domain of human beings. I think I am a little bit worried. I think I am a little bit scared, like anybody else who is a photographer who loves what they do and don't want the robots to take our jobs away from us. But I also sort of view the whole thing as a challenge, right? I personally believe that human creativity is something that can't be replicated. I do believe that there is like something, I don't know, spiritual or transcendent about human creativity, if you want to look at it that way. And I think the way to really move forward, the way to address this as a photographer, is to just continue making things that a computer could never dream of making. And on that note, that's this week's episode. Hope that you found it informative and fun, and I hope that it helps you to navigate the ongoing apocalypse that is the reality that we all live in. If you'd like to support the pod further, you can find us on Instagram, photo_friends_pod. We post lots of cool stuff over there. I've been featuring some nice photography work by some photographers that I admire and some people who have been guests on this show. We have a Patreon. You can go over there, support the podcast with money. We have another way that you can support the podcast, which is by clicking that CloudSpot link. You can support yourself too, because you can get 50% off for your first year. You can rate us on Apple Podcasts, and you can recommend us to a friend. And before we go, ChatGPT, please provide us with something random.
Bananas are berries, but strawberries are not.